could only walk in, but not now because you're in the.
Say hello.
Hello.
that's what you got. Hello.
You just said say hello, so I said
say hello.
Hello.
That's Neil. Neil. You've not heard. You've heard me rambling for a little while. You've not heard Neil yet. He's decided to be creaky. Creaky chair.
It's getting comfortable.
No gardening today because it's raining, but I have cooked baked bread, homemade focaccia. I was having black olive and tomato focaccia. I'm having red onion and spring onion and onion focaccia. Yeah, I thought for this little episode we could talk about the stages of the application process. What was it called?
Adoption process.
Probably better. I've waffled about gardening for a couple of episodes, so. And as you can articulate it all better than, much better than I can, I thought we should hear from you.
Okay.
I've been trying to think about when we first submitted our application.
September 2021, we started.
Do you remember who we spoke to?
Didn't you speak to Bernardo's? And we spoke to the local authority and then went through the local authority. If I'm dead honest, didn't know the difference. Yeah, so local authority felt like the inverted commas better one to go with. Although our friend said that going through an agency can sometimes mean you've got better support.
Well, we've had great support though. I mean, I have nothing to compare against.
Obviously, adoption support.
All right, okay. Well, we'll find out then. And actually, in hindsight, I'm glad that we went with our local authority anyway because our social work has been brilliant.
Fabulous.
She's a great individual, and I'm sure they all are, but we've got one to compare against, and she's been great. So yeah. I think we've chosen the right thing anyway. And as we're a small number of weeks now away from the reality of all this, you know, she's done a cracking job.
Yes. I think the end is in sight. And it's probably gotten here as quickly as it could have gotten here, all life events considered. And literally the first, children that piqued our interest, they are the ones that are coming home to us, so.
Yeah. What was it like, stage one, after that initial phone call through to... There's a bit of training and kind of get to the end of stage one, which is that, assessment and questions and things. Like, what was that like for you?
Fine. It was just par for the course. It has to be done. Comparing it to, in inverted commas again, conventional child having, we never had another option open to us. So I can't speak from the perspective of a heterosexual couple who might be expected to have a child by other means, but I always knew there'd be a bit of graft behind having children. So yeah, it was fine. None of the questions were really intrusive. It was just... you said, we did the training. We learned some stuff, which I hope will be helpful. We learned about the process a little bit, although I probably would have expected to learn more about how that process works, but I don't think we did, if I'm honest. Stages were all explained by our social worker.
Mm.
But the actual training itself, finding out about, why do children become adopted, therapeutic parenting and all things like that, that was helpful. And then the questions that we went through with Prith. Is that stage two? That is stage two.
There's the initial inspection of finances.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Stuff.
So, yeah, stage one. Yeah, stage two is all the questions, isn't it?
Mm.
So, yeah, we. Stage one, fine. Training, fill in a form, write about yourself, what's your name, where'd you come from, and how was your life up until now? Yeah, with the break from July to November.
This year, so we Actually, remind me, after we'd done stage one, we'd done all the paperwork, gone through all the meetings, ripped apart our family history and put it all back together in free therapy with a social worker. And then when did we go to panel?
July.
July.
So we had registration of interest September 21.
Right.
Stage one finished just before Christmas 21.
That's right.
Stage two started, it's all coming back to me now. Stage two started January.
Don't have copyrights, sorry. Go on.
And then we went through stage two in the first few months of, well, first, what, 5 months of 22. We had approval panel in July.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, that's when we were formally approved, yes, you can be parents.
That's right. We went to Wales to see your other, didn't we?
And then we went on hold then because of the wedding. There just wouldn't have been any realistic time, would there, to go through the process. You think this has taken from January to now 6 months to be looking at approval matching panel.
Mm-hmm.
We just, there wouldn't have been the time there with the wedding to get all that done. So went on hold. And then after the wedding, we had a message off our social worker. Right, are you both back at work now? Yes, you are. Yes, we are. Right, you're off hold.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so that was November time. Then obviously Christmas happens. Things slow down.
It's actually not been that long at all, has it really?
No, there's not been any. I think we've been lucky hearing other people's stories. We've had no hiccups. Touch wood, you know, there's still time. But there's no...
I love for this visual medium, you touched wood.
That was close to the mic. But yeah, I think if you look at other people's stories, I saw an Instagram story of a female same-sex couple who were adopting, and they are supposed to be starting bridging soon. And there's been some bumps in their road now. So I think up to now it's been relatively straightforward, and long may it stay that way.
Yeah. You've taken a lot of, not influence, I guess comfort, but also insight. I guess. That's the I word, insight.
From social media.
Yeah, from other people's journeys. Like, you found that really helpful, haven't you?
Yeah, it's good to know what is normal. What are things to be worried about? What should I not be worried about? Because it's all well and good a social worker saying, it's fine, this is what, don't worry about it. But it's, yeah, well, that's your job. You're not gonna really tell me to panic until it's, let's get to panic stations. Whereas...
But I want to panic now, thank you very much.
It's more kind of just like, you know, forewarned is forearmed. And it's been good to... Because, like, we've got friends in our life who've adopted. So to me, you know, the social media stuff is just... It's not. I don't even have to ask for the advice. Like, I can go to our friends and ask for advice, but this is just people who are helpfully share, like you're doing with this. It's sharing that journey. It's accessible, and you know, it's just someone else's journey that you can kind of look at and go, oh right, yeah, it is okay. Oh, feeling this way is right. I'm feeling a bit frustrated at this point because there's been no communication for 2 weeks. Oh, that's fine. I can feel frustrated. Cool, great. I'll move on now then.
And I think. I found that, I mean, I can't, I really struggle with comparison. It's really hard to explain. It's not jealousy, it's more because of the longing in me and the longing that we have to be parents. It feels like there's an urgency that nobody else has, like nobody else is rushing to get us those kids, no one's rushing to make me a parent as quickly as I want. And so to then see other people's journeys online, regardless of the fact that it might have taken them 10 years to get there, my brain doesn't work on logic or reason. Like I'm my EQ scale is 100 and my IQ scale is about 0.2. And so naturally I see things and I feel my heartbeat in my chest like... Because I want that and I want that now. And so I've struggled looking at other people's journeys in that respect. I feel really comfortable now because
So nearly at the end of it.
Well, no, do you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I feel like, whoa, we're at the end of this. But actually, you kind of want, the end is in sight. Well, actually, the beginning is in sight, yeah. You know? Like, the rest of our life is just about to start, you know, in a couple of months.
Do you ever get an impending sense of the weight of that? I know that I mean W-E-I-G-H-T. Like, all of a sudden...
I'm sitting here going, how many of the weights are there?
It's
W-A-I-T.
I think it's not that it's like, at the end of this process, it's then the start of another lifelong one.
I was sat here the other day, in fact, I was sat yesterday here when I was in the garden yesterday doing some bits and bobs, and I just kept thinking, oh God, at some point there's going to be extra hands, and they're probably not going to be helpful, but they're going to be damn cute. And then, oh my God, I'm going to be responsible for them. Like, I'm going to then have to clean those extra hands. And nobody's going to tell me how to clean them properly. Like, I just have to know how to clean them properly. And then I was kind of thinking, well, here I am, gloves on, trowel, repotting some plants. I was planting some dahlias out, actually, some of those ones that we bought from the garden centre. And I say we, you had no say in it.
I just watched.
And I kind of thought, what if in the future, this time next year, what if we, and hopefully we won't be in nappies at that point, but let's imagine we were. You know, let's say we do something in the garden in September and one of them poops and that's the day you're at work and I'm like elbow deep in compost and then I've got to get one out because I'm about to be elbow deep in shit.
So I had an image of Laura Dern from Jurassic Park.
That's exactly
it. This is how you're going to have your day.
Like one of these little Jurassic turds. We're probably jumping a little bit forward. I keep saying one of them, because we're getting two. We obviously can't say their names and won't say their names or gender, but we've started referring to them with family and whatnot and friends, our little fox cubs. Let's just make mental notes and refer to them that way now, just so that we don't.
Fox cubs. A and B.
So A and B. We're going to have two little fox cubs in the garden. So back to my scenario. I'm going to be doing something that's urgent that needs doing, whether that's mowing the grass or, I don't know, cleaning something up. And they're going to be there and they're going to be cute as hell. And one of them's going to do that absent stare into nowhere whilst they're filling a nappy. And the other one isn't. And I'm going to have to get one of them inside, both of them inside. One of them horizontal to change a nappy while the other one is running around feral. And then at the same time, I'm going to have to make sure I've not got grass clippings all over me because I don't want to cover the fox cubs in grass clippings. Like, I've played that scenario over 150,000 times and I don't come out of it on top. And that's the weight of it that I'm feeling right now is that there's going to be a point when you and I, independently or together, are going to stand there and go, one of them needs X, the other one needs Y, and neither of us have any ABCs to give them. Like, I'm just... And that's the way to it that I feel like. There's no training for that. No therapeutic book that says how to handle one messy nappy, not two. There's no... At some point, they're going to go, well done for bridging, you know, well done for the bump into you sessions and the getting to know you sessions. Here's a panel that says, yes, we also agree that you should be the fathers to these children. Off you trot. You know? Yeah. and then everybody's
we'll see
like,
you in 2 weeks to visit the house unexpectedly.
Yeah, there you go. Like, good, you know, Godspeed.
That'll be the day they visit.
Keep them alive.
You're running around the house. Grass everywhere. Baby poo. Knock at the door, social worker.
Yeah.
Hi.
Poo in one hand, child in the other.
Yeah. Other child.
Or just in the background running around. And it's that unprepared. I'm not prepared. I'm not. And the thing is, I have plenty of friends that have had kids. They go, you never will be. Stop worrying. We have friends that have been placed with their children through adoption who have experience some of those early day wobbles and are now just not coasting but like they're in their flow, they're in a good routine, they're handling dirty nappies. Like, I know that it's going to be absolutely fine because you just get it done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, it's down to me to get it done, and that's just terrifying as hell.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you haven't enjoyed?
Waiting.
In what respect?
So, stage one and two, there was kind of always something to do. So stage one, we were training. Stage one, we were filling in forms. Stage two, we were talking to the social worker. They were asking us for more information. We had to read the PAR. Things like that. There was a lot to do. More training, like web-based training. And then panel. So there was always something to do. It was always, we were always active with it. And then, like I say, hold, fine, nothing to do then. Came into my mind a couple of times, but didn't really have to do anything and wasn't supposed to be, which is fine. Then off hold, wait. Waiting. Keep waiting. There was nothing to do other than wait. Or and we had this conversation yesterday.
Or read books online.
I hate waiting. You had to go 5 seconds away from me to move the car. I came with you so I didn't have to wait.
Yeah.
So
you're a joy to live with.
The waiting is... Your face. The waiting has been the worst thing, where there's just been nothing to do. And we saw Profile in January. And, you know, without actually looking for that. And then expressed interest.
But...
wait.
Yeah, but do you think that wait has happened? Like, that wait hasn't...
In the moment, like, if you look back at it now, it feels like it was 10 seconds ago.
Yeah.
But in the moment, it's like expressed interest. And then all we can do is message the social worker, and he is. And their response is just, no, I'll let you know where it is.
Their response is still, see message above.
Yeah, right. But in a nice way, like, they've been lovely. But, and then we hear back, oh, their social worker is happy with you, so we're going to move this along.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what does
that mean?
Yeah, and I think we've learned, even in the last week, haven't we? We've learned that you get all the information you can get as you get it, and there's an eagerness to, I mean, certainly with our social worker, she's been eager to give us as much information as she can, but sometimes they've been half sentences because, you know, we're still not the Fox Cubs parents. And it doesn't seem at all unlikely that we're not going to be. But there's still an infinitesimally small chance. Mm. And legally, we're still nothing to do with them. We will be in a few weeks. But right now, we're not. And so there's still an appropriateness for those children to protect them, even from us, even from giving us too much information. And that's something I've not been able to deal with very well. The thing I've really not enjoyed, and it's hard not to get on a soapbox about this, because I know many people will and will continue until it changes. And it's certainly something that I intend to raise when the time's right. Mostly when those kids are legally ours. And there's no comeback. But going to the doctors for the medical, which is an important part, you know, they have to check family history and all that good stuff. But going to the hospital and having to fill out a form that says the reason for adoption, and it's all around the failure to conceive.
The very heteronormative forms.
Yeah, like, my doctor was really angry about it, like, really angry. I was less fussed, but in hindsight, I really liked the unrequested allyship from him.
The indignation on your behalf.
Because he was absolutely for ticking the box that says inhospitable womb, you know, and being really like middle finger to the system.
My GP kind of looked at the same question and was just so puzzled. He was like, I guess it's failure to conceive because you can't. I was like, go for it, you put that
in. I promise we've tried.
It's like...
And it is right, you know, those forms are absolutely right for the heterosexual couples, or even the female gay couples that haven't conceived naturally or choose not to conceive naturally and choose to go down this route. But it really stings just that little bit more for people like you and me that there's no thought necessarily given. Now, that's not the truth, because the amount of information and emails and events that we get that are geared to parents like you and me is great, but in the basics, in the paperwork, it's not there.
That's like...
And you know, for our paperwork, for example, was dated back to this form. The version control on the one of the documents was 2012. And I'm like, oh. And I just think, in business, you don't get paperwork that's that old. You don't use paperwork that's that old. And that's the kind of things that bother me. Just that's bothered me a little bit. But otherwise, it's been fine. It's been a good journey. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, everything.
I
can't.
Other than having kids, like what's the thing that you're most looking forward to?
I think the big thing is probably Christmas. Like, I don't want to romanticise anything, because every time I think of, oh, we can cook with them, then I was like, that'll be a nightmare. And I think, because it will be. Like, you kind of think, oh, I can't wait to do this with them. And I'm like, nah, because they're going to tip a bowl over, stuff's going to go everywhere. I'm like, this is not how I imagined. So I'm trying to not romanticise anything like that. But, like, Christmas is literally, like, my favourite time of year. As I, like, waxed lyrical about to our social worker, like, Christmas was always a family time for us. Like, it was mum and dad and my brother and, like, my grandparents, and we kind of alternate between houses. And it was always a big, not a big thing, because there wasn't loads of us, but it was a solid event that I knew that was going to happen every year, and I really looked forward to it. And now as an adult, I look forward to it. I love getting the tree up. You know, we put a movie on, maybe open a Prosecco, and just like do the house up and make it look festive. And I can't, maybe minus the Prosecco this year, do the same thing like with our kids and get them, because they're at an age where they get excited about it.
Yeah, because they are just getting to an age now, or by the time we get to Christmas, that'll be an age where the concept of it makes sense to them, and they know something's happening.
I'm like, that's probably the thing I'm most looking forward to, if I could pinpoint something. But like, just little things as well that make my stomach turn a little bit, but in an excited way. Like, their room is next to ours. And so I'll just get to the walk to the top of the stairs, and their room is the first. Yeah, their room is the first thing that I see. And I just think, like, at night, like, when I walk up the stairs to bed, I'm not going to walk straight to my room. Well, our room. I'm going to put my head in.
Have a little peek.
Imagine yourself
having a little
peek. Just check on them, make sure they're okay. Just, okay.
I have been as well. I think, I'm not going to dox us. I've learned that word from the kids on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
That means giving away where you live. No. But not far from where we live, there's an indoor play area. And I used to work...
You'll be able to pinpoint where we are from that, Keith.
Yeah. In England, there's a kids' play area. I used to work in an indoor play area when I was younger, and I used to love seeing the parents bring their toddlers and watching the toddlers have so much fun and thinking, oh, one day that's going to be me. So I'm quite looking forward to that. I'm not going to go ahead and say that's like the thing I'm most looking forward to, because as we understand from children's foster carers, the cubs go feral in those environments, and so at some point we're going to have to drag screaming kids out and take them home. So I'm kind of looking forward to it, but
they also get tired.
Yeah, so we'll have to find a half asleep fox cub under a ball pool. So that's one. Like, I'm kind of looking forward to that, but more than anything, absolutely looking forward to going to the Lake District with them and go somewhere like Ambleside and take them to the Appleby Caff and have like a big bath bun with them.
Is that where we get the bath buns
from?
That's
where we get the bath buns from. And like watching them get covered in icing and dough. And I just, and maybe around winter time, like when we're all wrapped up snugly and they're in like a little Maggie Simpson kind of like star suit. Like,
yeah.
I love the Lake District. So just taking them somewhere like that.
That's your Christmas.
That's going to be my moment, yeah. Yeah. What would you say to people who are thinking about it or have the forms, the application forms, or just don't know whether it's right for them, presuming that adoption is there only way they can have a family, or that's the way they're choosing to have a family, like, but are on the fence of like, oh my God, I don't have the money, or I don't have the house, or...
say, express that interest, because the people who administer it, whether you're going through a local authority agency or a private agency, they are there to answer the questions for you and understand. And, you know, that's their job. If you've got questions, they will answer, because they don't want to place children with families who aren't sure, who haven't got the means. So if you've got the questions, they can answer them. But also, I mean, if it's something you want to do, then social media is a good place to just get some information, just see other people's stories. Because like I said, you know, your social worker in the agency will give you like kind of like the clinical answers to certain things. They're not going to give you a lived experience. And there's so much out there. Like, and depending on your background, like, so like us, if you're in the LGBTQIA plus community, there is an adoption account for you there. And I've started following some heterosexual accounts as well. You know, because everyone's journey will have similar threads, but if you want to...
Different start and ends.
Yeah. So go for it would be my...
That would be my
first like clipped piece of advice, because you're not obligated to anything until you've got your adoption order, then you are a parent.
So where are we? So we're not far away now, are we? Or it feels like we're not far away now. Any last thoughts?
Just back to what I said just then about if someone's interested, just express that interest, get the information. You know. You know,
ask a few people as well.
Yeah, ask people. If you know someone who's done it, ask for their advice, for their view, what was their experience like? Because you're not obliged, you're not, you know, tied into anything. At any point, you can pull out of that process if you think it's not for you.
Ask people. We've found that just asking people, and even just connecting with people on, you more than me, but connecting with people online and shooting a message and asking how they dealt with, you know, first few night tantrums when they come home, or the rollercoaster of emotions, etc., etc. I'm not getting out in the garden now because it's absolutely hammering down. That was going to be my next job. Oh, well, I'll make the focaccia instead. Ask people. Ask us if you want. We don't have a lot of insight other than our own. And what we've stolen from other people and learned from other people.
That's as much as anyone else has.
But yeah, ask us, give us a shout. We've got the Instagram thing, and I think you can message direct through Spotify if you've got Spotify. I think it does that. I don't know how it does that, but it does that. But yeah, message on Instagram if you want and ask us anything. And confidentiality-wise, obviously we'll have to keep the Fox Cubs confidential, but we can tell you anything about ourselves. Now you can't probably Google anyway. Neil's a hardened criminal. No, he's not. but yeah, ask us, ask anybody that's done it before. We've found that everybody's been quite comfortable to tell us things and help us and share.
Yeah.
And what I think is wonderful is that there's no one doing this because they don't want to. You know, everybody wants to do it, and therefore is eager to see everybody else have the same joy. So, yeah, well, that's it. I've got to make tea, so what are you going to do?
I'll find something to busy myself with.
Yeah, do some cleaning.
I always do it.
Yeah, that's true. Right, until next time, lovely to speak to everybody.
Bye.
Bye.